In any case, you remember the election in Zimbabwe, I'm sure, and the inconclusive and, in some sense, violent aftermath. Well, power-sharing talks have been continuing in Zimbabwe following that disputed election, and it looks like there may be some signs of progress. President Robert Mugabe has so far refused to yield or share power with opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai. He has said he and his supporters have been under violent threat from Mugabe. Joining us now is Martin Plaut, Africa editor for our partner, the BBC. Martin, what are the indications of what, you know, where these talks are headed? I mean, is power sharing, real power sharing in Zimbabwe, a likelihood from this?
Well, you know, if I can put sort of stick my neck out, I would say yes. I think we are close to reaching that now. Everyone that was leaving the talks last night, and they went on for a heck of a long time, came out indicating that progress had been made. They're supposed to resume this afternoon, Harare time, and then we hope to get some kind of result, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe Friday, in other words. So it seems as if we're on the edge of things, but, you know, things we've been at this point before, things have gone wrong, so it's not a done deal.
So the political negotiations are one thing, what Mugabe would agree to do and what Tsvangirai, the opposition leader, would accept. But I'm wondering if there's any sort of likelihood that the mechanisms of government itself, the structure of how the government works in Zimbabwe, would have to change for real power sharing to actually be implemented.
Yeah, exactly. That's precisely the point. What's happening is that the opposition is saying, listen, if we're going to really share power, let's do it. And the way this would happen, according to them, is that all 31 ministers would be answerable to Morgan Tsvangirai, in other words, the opposition leader, who'd become a full executive president. But then there would be set up two bodies, the National Security Council and a new Council of State, that would be chaired by Robert Mugabe. Now, Tsvangirai, the opposition leader, would sit on those, but he would, in a sense, then have to defer to Mugabe. So that would be the sharing of powers. The ministers would answer to Tsvangirai, but there then would be this other body which had to have an oversight role. Exactly how that would work, we don't know, but those are the proposals on the table, something like that.
I would imagine that people who follow this closely in Zimbabwe would be a little disheartened to imagine a literal enshrinement of a feud between Tsvangirai and Mugabe if it turns out that dividing the government this way results in just a feuding government that can't get anything done.
Well, that is, of course, the case. But the problem is that, you know, although the first elections in March, which were probably the only fair ones, were won by the opposition, then Mugabe put in his men and, you know, there was a lot of beating, a lot of violence, and in the presidential elections, he won. So, you know, who won the elections? Well, it depends on which elections you look at. And so, you know, there has to be some kind of sharing, and it's going to be very difficult to do this. Now, of course, driving all this is the economy, which is in, you know, almost complete meltdown. We have officially 11,000,000% inflation, but it's probably much higher than that. The dollar, the Zimbabwean dollar, has been actually revalued twice, and it is now worth, if you take away the devaluations, you put the figure 6 and then 16 zeros to the U.S. dollar. Now, I don't even know what that is. I don't know how you describe something with 16 zeros after it.
Well, worthless, I think, is a word that comes to mind. Yeah,
yes.
That's the one I would use. I guess, is there a danger here that these negotiations would end up enshrining constitutionally what the international community believes is a stolen election rather than allowing an end game for Robert Mugabe and the democratic aspirations of the people of Zimbabwe to really be expressed?
Oh, well, I think you're absolutely right. That is exactly what could happen. But, you know, that is what happened in Kenya. African leaders are not good at giving up power. They see the route to, to wealth as being only one way, and that is through politics. And one mustn't forget that most African governments think that their population is there to serve them, not that they are there to serve their people. And so, you know, this is not such an unusual situation. I mean, you have some people President Bongo, who's been in power for 40 years. You have Gaddafi, who's been in power for 39 years. But the United States thinks that Gaddafi's now the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, God knows why.
Well, Condoleezza Rice was there on a visit just a few days ago. Martin Plaut, thank you very much. Martin Platt is the BBC Africa editor. He joined us from London on the talks going on in Zimbabwe.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.